We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the 21st chapter, the 11th Pasuk. Masa Duma. The following vision was said over Duma. What is Duma? Rashi learns it's a vision of prophecy about Edom. We find in Ezekiel that Edom is called Duma. Duma is also an angel in perdition. Not in perdition, in the world to come. Duma is an angel who knows who's going to die and who's not. So over here, the following prophecy was said about Duma. Who is Duma? We said Edom. We said he's an angel, but the commentaries don't go with that over here. But we do find in the Torah, it says one of the children of Yishmael was Duma. Umishma veduma umasa yitur nafish vakedma. So Duma is one of Yishmael's children. Elai korei mi seir. I hear a prophetic voice coming out of Seir, from the territory of Esav. Shomer ma milayla. Shomer ma milel. So we have different interpretations as to whether the prophetic voice is coming out of Seir to describe the destruction of Seir. Rashi, with his interpretation that Duma is talking about Edom, so then the voice coming out of Seir is telling us about the destruction of Seir, of Edom. Or the other commentaries who learn it's talking about the destruction of Yishmael. So then the voice is coming out of Seir because Esav came from Seir to destroy Yishmael, or that part of Yishmael. Shomer ma milayla. So one interpretation here is that the Navi turns up to Hashem and says, "You, Hashem, who are the Shomer, you watch over Israel," right? We say it in prayer. Hashem is Shomer Yisrael. Ma milayla, what's going to be with this long night? Sometimes we're under Yishmael. Sometimes we're under Edom. What's going to be with this long galus? So that's Rashi's approach. There's another approach which discusses what's going on in the city that's under siege. People will turn to the guard, to the watch of the night, and they'll tell him, "Ma milayla, what'd you see all night? Shomer ma milel, tell me what you see. What you see during the course of the evening?" Everyone's scared, so they're speaking and they're stuttering and they're repeating their words. Amar shomer. So the guard answers, Atavokir v'gam laila. The morning has come. You don't have to worry. Now we'll see if an enemy approaches. But you know what? After the morning comes a night. Im tivayun be'ayu, shuvu etayu. He says, guess what? You want to keep asking? You're going to have to keep coming back. Because every day is followed by a night, and you're welcome to keep returning and ask me again how the night went. So this is the simple interpretation. But again, we have the interpretation that this is all a question turned towards heaven, where the question is, what's happening? How long are we going to be out here? Amar Shomer. So Hashem, who is our Shomer, who is our protector, he says, you're asking me about Laila. Laila is a reference to the period of exile, as we say in the Lagid Baboker Chasdecha Vemunatcha Baleilot. The Talmud says on that verse, in the morning, in the time of redemption, it seems like the morning, the sun's shining, everything's clear. So then, Lagid Baboker Chastecha, recount the praise of God's kindness. Demunatcha Balelot. But in the times that it feels like it's night, where everything feels dark, where it's hard to see that God's running the world, that's where the Emunah comes in. So Hashem says, you're asking me about the night, about this long galut. Ata Voker. Your redemption is coming. Vegam laila. And with your redemption, I have a night prepared for your enemies. All this time you were in the night, well, you're going to have a morning, and they're going to have a night. Im tivayun be'ayu. if you want to make requests, so shuvu eitayu, you got to know that your requests are contingent on your returning. You do tshuva, then you have room to make requests. Im tivayun be'ayu, if you make requests, you guys know this from your learning Talmud, ba'aya is a request, is a question. Shuvu eitayu, if you want to make requests, you want to be redeemed from this darkness, so then return to Hashem and ask His mercy. Pray about it. You know, the Chafetz Chaim would pray every night about the state of Am Yisrael in Golus. Every Jew is supposed to pray every night. Some get up for Tikkun Chatzot, and even if you're not going to get up for Tikkun Chatzot, you should still pray about our state in Galut. Yes? Avram? Yes? No? Maybe? No? Yeah? There is, but you could say psalms that are relevant. Al Na'ot Bavel, and if you open many Siddurim in the beginning, they have Tikkun Chatzot. They'll tell you which psalms are befitting. But you could do that too, right? The Chafetz Chaim used to have his own conversation with God, in his own words. Respectful, but in his own words. Yeah?
I'll tell you, so what language is that the
thing? Aramaic. We find Aramaic in the Torah too, yeah. Ata is Aramaic for has come. Yeah. Pasuk Yud Gimel, but it's a word in Torah.
They have it in the Torah
too. In the Zos Habracha. Ve'asam erivivos kodesh, the same word. Hashem came from the myriad of holy angels.
Why is it like this? We have the Hebrew that just throw like an Aramaic word in the middle of a sentence.
I don't know.
The joke is like my wife's grandfather is like from an Iraqi community that moved to India. We got like a British upbringing in India, so like when he talks, he'll have like four different languages he'll say in one sentence. They gotta try to keep up with what he's trying to talk about.
I don't know.
I feel like there's a real fraternity here. As an example,
okay.
There's a lot of words that become part of the language because it's so ingrained.
There's more to it, but I don't know it. Masa. We're up 21:13. We're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Masa Barav. The following prophecy is given about the Arabs. Bayar Barav Talinu Ochot Didanim. He's speaking about Dedan. Dedan is one of the tribes that used to frequent their tents out in the forests of Arabia. And now their territory is going to be destroyed and they're going to have to go. Now they're going to go to the forests out in Arabia. The Dedanim are going to end up there. Bayar Ba'arav Talinu. So our sages say this pasuk is speaking about what happened to the northern 10 tribes. That the northern 10 tribes were being exiled by the Assyrian Empire. And as their captors were taking them into exile, they said, please, let us pass by our relatives, the Arabs, the Yishma'elim. Maybe they'll have mercy on us and they'll bring us something to drink, to eat. And so these Arab nations would come out to the forest and sleep in the forest so they shouldn't miss us as we passed by. That way they'd awaken when we'd come. Ochot didanim. They went as though they were didanim. Our sages understood this to mean like relatives, like dod. Didanim, like cousins. So they came out to greet us with warm smiles, as though they cared for us, as though they were our cousins. The Navi continues and says, "Likrat sameh heitayumayim." The norm is that when someone is thirsty, you offer him water. Likrat sameh, towards a thirsty person, heitayumayim, you should bring water. Yoshevei eretz teimah. But these Arab people who live in the land of Tema, Belachmo Kidmu Noded, they purposely greeted the people who were being exiled, the Nodeid, with their salty bread and salty fish. And the Jews in their exile would say, could you please give me a drink? And they'd say, sure, we have these flasks here, just to have something to eat first. Even though they knew full well we were very thirsty. And then, after eating their salty food, they would give them their flasks. The flasks were purposely left with very stale, stagnant air. And the people would put them to their lips and suck it in. And that would cause them, with all the salt in their stomachs, to have such stomach pains that people were dropping dead like flies. And they purposely did this. They knew this is what would happen. And so the Navi turns to them and says, I'm gonna take an accounting with you. Yes?
What did the Arabs have against us back then?
Good question.
I don't know.
They're occupying territory.
Well, first of all, what year are we talking about?
It's irrelevant. If we weren't their enemies.
It's the descendants of Yishmael. That's who it is. But we don't know. I'm saying, I don't know of a source as to why they wanted us dead.
We obviously didn't expect it because we asked.
Well, does this indicate anything about their inner character? That they're just hateful people? Or that they're just anti-Semitic by genetics or something?
So we have the Medrash about Yishmael. When Yishmael himself was dying of thirst, this is what the angels saw, this prophecy. And they said, if this is what his descendants will do to the people of Israel, so God, how could you give him water? You're making water appear on his behalf. Look at what his descendants will do. So obviously this was a heavy claim against them, as we'll see the Navi himself takes them to task over it. Nonetheless, why did they do it? I don't know. The Gemara says, there's a rule we assume, and that is Esav sonel Yaakov, that Esav hates Yaakov.
That's Esav. Esav is a whole generation later. Slowly. With him and Yishmael.
So that's exactly the point. Number one, we would like to think that's only Esav. But we also know there's a Medrash on Tehillim that Rashi quotes in Zechariah that we've discussed numerous times, and that is about the partnership between Esav and Yishmael. That the two do act as united forces, especially in the fourth exile. Did that come to play already back then? I don't know. But aside from the Gemara that Esav sonei Yaakov, you have another Gemara that we learned in the Rambam. We learned the Rambam quoted it in the Yemenite epistle in Igeret Teiman, that the reason it's called Mount Sinai comes from the word sin'ah, hatred. That the second we received the Torah, all the nations of the world started hating us. Right, so that's how our sages had a tradition to learn the pasuk. You're right. Okay. You see it even in Oz Yashir. Amar Oyev, Edof Asig Chalek Shalal. Shame'u Amim Yirgazun. Nations heard that we left Egypt and they got upset. But it doesn't affect them. The people of Canaan will be discussed later in the song. Here you're talking about other nations. What do they care if we got free from Egypt? Right? So we see already from the Exodus that people were very bothered that things were going right for us. So that's why either we can learn Yishmael and Esav go hand in hand. The Medrash says Yishmael. Why was he named that? Because he will cause God to hear us. He will be such an oppressing force against the Jews that the Jews will give a most heartfelt cry because of Yishmael. Wow. That's why it's called Yishmael. That's
so it says. We see that, right?
Baruch Hashem. I think we have a lot to be thankful for. I don't know.
Are we supposed to learn about from this? Like, well, first of all, that this applies. This is a tribe of Arabs in the region. Are we supposed to extrapolate out that they all want to go out of our way to do us harm? It isn't just a neutral thing where, you know, listen, we're not going to lift a finger to help you. That's one thing. And the other thing that's so strange is, did these people, where did they get this idea that they're asking to deliberately go by, like they expect them to treat us so warmly? Where does that come from?
And that's more bizarre, it seems, to me. Obviously, I have huge holes in this. But it's dangerous, to, I think, to, unless it's true, that we're supposed to look at this as not neutral. Every one of these people, the descendants of Esav, descendants of Ishmael, are out to get us, not just, I'm not going to move the finger to help you. And of course, we see periods of history under the time of, you know, whatever, Golden Age of Spain, where we did quite well under, as you pointed out, also in classes, there were times under even the Romans and under the Persians. So how are we, what are we supposed to learn from?
I don't think Chazal meant on an individual level. We find throughout our history that there were individuals who helped us in the Roman time as well.
But don't get too comfortable with it. Realize.
The big picture is be prepared that there's an underlying enmity there.
And that it shows that we are going to be misleading ourselves and asked to trust these nations. I mean, where did they get the idea? Were they treated so well by these tribes beforehand that the fact that, these are our cousins who are really going to take care of us.
I don't have a source for it, but like Ari says, it could be desperation, but I think we also find throughout our history that when things are going well and people benefit economically from being from having a close relationship with us, then they like to stress how close they are to us. We're relatives. I'm not sure if that's what was going on back then, that they gave us a feeling throughout that we're relatives, we're not so far apart. Don't forget, they circumcised.
No, it makes sense. I mean, certainly when things are going well and people's easier. Right.
Who's on first? I think you are, yeah.
Okay, second.
Yeah.
No, it's not just because like this whole aim is like going back to like how this underlying hatred is like another commentator, it seems like it's going the opposite direction. The end of the quote here says, according to the purpose of the prophets to administer Jewish people and to teach them that they should be as kind and benevolent to others as their Arab cousins have once been.
Who is that?
Abarbanel.
It's not Abarbanel. Okay.
They are known for hospitality. It's interesting that you may slit your throat another day. If you get into a village, you'll get a meal with a glass of water.
They're hospitality. They
slit your throat right after that.
Yeah, but there's times like before, like neighbors, you go to your neighbor for coffee or tea.
Absolutely.
And during...
The
same neighbor was
absolutely. Yeah. We saw villages in Poland, right? You know, the Holocaust, people would come out in the streets, out of their way. These were people, the neighbors. So there's no doubt that that exists. Question is, do we look at everybody and treat them, as he said, genetically like they're just going to do us in, or do we judge individually? That's another time.
So, the Barbanel has a long piece on this that deserves a broad discussion. Yeah.
Could you also like just say something simple, like there was like a group of Lashayim of Arabs, just like today there's like a whole group of Lashayim, like Al-Qaeda, so maybe they just like wanted to hurt the Jews, because it sounded also like the way they did it was very like through cunning, and sort of like as a joke with food involved, so it seems sort of like they were trying to make fun of the Jews in a sense, and at the same time kill them, which makes it seem more like they were just like Lashayim. But I don't know if that's it.
So... that's a question we have throughout the prophets. The prophet speaks in general terms about a people, and we always have a hard time to know how many of the people really sinned and how many were being held accountable because they allowed it to happen. An example of that we have in this week's parsha with the Egel. The nation sinned. Did the whole nation sin? Only 3,000 people served the Egel. That's less than 1%. And yet God calls it the nation that sinned. And you have a similar idea when it comes to Achan in the book of Joshua. One person stole from the loot, and yet God speaks about the Jewish people who stole from the loot, but other people knew about it. So we do find this idea that there's a certain communal responsibility, more so with Am Yisrael. I don't know over here how many people it was. You see that this was an important factor a millennium earlier, when their great-great-great-great-grandfather Yishmael was dying of thirst, this was the discussion in heaven. This is referenced a few times in Tanakh, this occurrence, what the Yishmaelim did to us. Again, I have no way of knowing. I don't know how many, was it 80%? Was it 2%? Was it 0.5%, but 100% knew about it and were okay with it? I don't know.
We see today that maybe a small percentage actually blows himself up, but a whole lot named the summer camp after him and feel this is a good thing. So we see, you know, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. I don't know the answer. Yeah?
I had some the 3,000. I'm curious about this. Wasn't it like 3,000 people died with like this whole the miraculous way with the soda water thing going on or whatever else? And then they called Levi over and said, go slaughter everybody else? Like, so wasn't the slaughtering...
Monday and Tuesday night are Parsha class. Monday here, Tuesday in Kohav Yaakov. Pasuk Tezayin. Tesvav. Ki mipenei charavot nadadu. My nation has been exiled because of the sword. Mipenei cherev netusha. Because the sword has been drawn. The sharp sword has been drawn. And because the bow has been drawn. And because of the weight of war, that's why Israel has exiled. Kicho amar Adonai Eli. The Navi says, God's told me the following. You guys saw how Israel was suffering. You saw how they were under the threat of the sword, of the arrow. Yeah, the weight of war, and this is how you behaved. So says Hashem. Be'od shana kishnei sachir. In a year's time, like someone who's been hired for a year, he doesn't let you go one day over. When his year is up, pay me. Payday. Be'od shana, in a year's time, kishnei sachir. The way a hired worker calculates a year from now. V'chala kol kevod kedar. And the masses of Kedar, the people of Arabia, they used to, their hallmark was their pots, their kadarim, their pots that were always black because they were nomadic tribes, and so they would cook on an open flame, and then all their pots got black. So that's why the word Kedar became known as the Arab pot that's always black, and that's why whenever you want to say someone's face turned black, the Navi will call it Kadaru. His face became like a Kedar, like the Arab pot, which is black. So the Navi says, V'chala kol kevod Kedar. And the honor, the masses of Kedar, of the Arabian tribes, will cease. Ush'ar mispar keshet. And the remnants of the Arabian tribes will also be diminished. Because Hashem says, I am the God of Israel, and I will take them to task over what they've done. I am the God of Israel, and I control the world, so I can decide how things will play themselves out. And Hashem says, I have spoken, this is what's going to be in a year's time. And that's the prophecy about Arabia.